happy October,
and
and welcome to the Spooky Spectacular with Damon and Shelby, a podcast series leading up to Halloween, where we explore some of the spooky movies available through Cromaine Library's online resources. How are you?
I am doing great, Shelbaroni and cheese. Yeah, I knew I'd get you with that one.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry I'm not quick enough to have one for you.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd even do with my name. So, yeah, I'm doing great. Shelby, you picked quite the movie this week. Do you want to tell our audience about this?
Okay, so I'm a weenie, and I keep picking old movies because I want them to be less scary, and I keep going for the ones that I think are going to be funny. And I did that again this week, but I turned it up just a tiny notch because now we're into October.
I have to ask, though, you said old movie. Is 1995 old to you?
It's definitely much newer than 1959 and 1960, I think, were our last two. So I just wanted to go a little closer to our current life, but not too much closer because I'm going to get scared and I'm not going to be able to handle it. So I'm trying to get myself used to these spooky movies.
Fair enough.
So, I decided to pick Rumpelstiltskin from 1995, which is available on Canopy, and I didn't see it on Overdrive. I didn't see it on Hoopla.
Correct. I checked the other two as well, and they were not there. Full disclosure about this film, if you're listening, it is rated R. We realize it's after the fact, but if you are of a proper viewing age, definitely worth the watch.
It's a fantastic movie, and again, it's on Canopy, so check it out. Or if you're too scared, if you're not sure, we're going to walk you through. We're going to hold your hands and take you into a little graveyard. I have a little synopsis for you from Canopy. Here we go. The malevolent gnome Rumpelstiltskin has been imprisoned inside a figurine since the 1400s. He is released 500 years later by a young mother who has purchased the figurine in 1990s Los Angeles. The years have not improved him, and he viciously demands the young woman's baby.
I think the years have improved him, I'm just gonna say that, but we'll get there. So, right off the bat, when this movie started, I was laughing right away. Because this movie opens, and there's a little subtitle on the bottom. And it says that it is somewhere in Europe, 1400s.
11 seconds into this movie, I was losing my mind.
Before
that even happens, it's showing, like, thunder's rumbling, there's a baby crying, there's, I think, a black background or something, and yellow letters are displaying the name of the filmmaker, and so I'm just watching this, you know, beginning credit, and then boom, there's this musical sting, and I jumped. I'm so sorry. I was already jumpy. And then we're in these dark, foggy woods, and then, yeah, that's where we see the caption, somewhere in Europe, sometime in the 1400s, we don't know!
Yeah, that's the best part. Like, it could be anywhere. Why were they not more specific than this? I don't understand that.
Truly incredible.
Yeah.
And then we get, we're looking into these dark, foggy woods, and we see this little figure of what looks like a man, and he's just hippity-hop skipping through the woods with a crying baby, and he's being chased by an angry mob.
And don't forget that he has a nose piercing. It's amazing.
Very spooky.
Yes.
And, okay, I have to say, when we get this first shot of this shadowed man skipping through the woods, his little run, he's, like, running sideways, and also his knees are very bent, and he's kind of leaning forward with his little hunchback, and it reminds me of the time a few years ago that I was at the gym, and I saw a man running sideways on the treadmill, and I had to stop myself from screaming.
Why was there a man running sideways on the treadmill?
I don't know. He was trying to work some muscles that I've never tried, obviously. But
was he, like, doing a grapevine?
I'm not sure, but he was, like, running.
Or, like, galloping?
It was a little like a gallop. That's kind of what our buddy Rumpy looks like he's doing here. It's like a little weird gallop, skippity hop.
Yeah, his run is quite interesting, and it's pretty entertaining to watch.
Oh my gosh, and a horrible face. He's got these big pointed ears and a huge pointed nose, and then these tiny little beady glowing eyes and a huge mouth with nasty pointy teeth. Horrible.
And he's also wearing this amazing purple hood. Like, it is so bizarre. Like, At first, it's like, is that his hair? Like, what is this? It's great.
Oh, he looks cool. He looks very cool. So the crowd catches up to this little man as he approaches this cliff with this crashing water below. A woman says, please, my baby, because he's taking someone's baby. And he goes, now, my baby. And then he holds it up over his head as the crowd loses their minds. Mm-hmm. And then he throws some kind of magic powder stuff at the crowd that starts this fire and keeps them away.
Yeah, he's like, come, bring the pain.
And they straight up, they toss this man like a salad.
Yeah, they start clubbing him.
And then that only lasts a second. He picks up one of the men, holds him up, reaches to his face, horrible, plucks out his eyeball.
Mm-hmm. And the eyeball is still moving after it comes out of the head, and then he eats it.
Oh.
And then when he ate it, Shelby, did you catch the amazing sound there? He takes his eyeball, he holds it in front of his mouth, and he's like...
Oh my god, and then right afterward, he just goes... It's horrible.
Oh, it's so great.
It's and then so gross.
The subtitle just goes, in parentheses, mob yelling.
He's just numbing with his little lips. Mmm, love me some crunchy eyeball.
Someone in the crowd shouts out, you shall pay for stealing the baby. And he's like, well, she promised me a baby. I spun the gold. Which, if you know the story of Rumpelstiltskin, of course, that is true. I mean, he did make that deal and held up his bargain. So, end of the bargain, rather. So, this woman must be a witch, and she cast a 1,000-year curse on him.
And the look on his face, with the camera pans to him right after she says, you'll be cursed for 1,000 years. Camera pans to him, and he's kind of like, that's not too bad. I can do that.
Yeah. And so apparently this curse can only be broken by a wish, a child, and heartfelt tears. Which, obviously, we're going to come back to that. So then she says his name, Rumpelstiltskin, 3 times, while the crowd lights him on fire. And somehow, he's still crawling around on the ground, even though he is, like, super on fire. I mean, I was pretty impressed with that.
Yeah.
So she throws some more magic powder on him and seals him into, like, a rock, a gem. It's a little bit unclear. It's like a sparkling statue thing. And then she just chucks him into the sea.
Kaboom! See you later.
So, fast forward. Now we're in L.A. in 1995 with this amazing 90s rap in the background.
Oh, it is poppin'. This is great.
Yeah, and so we see these two cops riding around on a patrol, and they're chatting, and one of them's like, I may be a cop, but I'm cool.
Because I listen to hip-hop.
Yeah. So the one officer, not the cool one, the other one,
yeah, of course.
Is looking for names for his upcoming child, who's a boy, and apparently his wife wants a boy name that is also a flower.
Got it.
So they're discussing this, and they're like, maybe Bud. And then the other one's like, how about Thorn?
Terrible. Awful.
You know, I actually kind of liked Thorn.
Oh, maybe for, like, a pet?
No, Thorn for, like, you're, like, in high school, you're a little bit edgy.
Your hair is black, and it's straightened and, like, kind of slicked, you know, to the side. Looks really cool.
I'm not quite sure why I wrote this down, but I wrote in my notes that his name is Mr. Police Officer.
Oh, great. That's helpful.
Yeah, I think somebody, like, called out to him. They're like, oh, Mr. Police Officer! but the other one, we get a name right away, and that's Officer John Cabe. And then we finally find out that the baby daddy one is Russ.
That's right. Okay, Russell. Great.
Yep.
His wife, Shelley, calls, and she is humongous pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
This poor girl is about to pop, and she asks her husband to bring her some marinated onions and frozen yogurt, which is so cute.
Yeah, and also gross, but yeah.
Loved it. Loved it. So they're chitty-chatting on the phone. It's great. She hates the name Thorn. She thinks it's awful. And they can't think of a plant name. Great. And then there's a robbery.
Yeah, there's a robbery, and then a dude walks up to a woman in the tree and just pulls a gun on her. But instead of shooting her, he just smacks her in the head with the gun.
Yeah, that was rude.
Yeah. So Mr. Russ Cop sees him, and then we get the amazing 90s slow motion of his phone falling to the ground. He, like, drops the call of his wife. And, like, sees this dude and calls after him, who immediately shoots him. Because he's calling after him, Frieza, drop the gun.
And the slow-mo's in that really deep voice that they used to use. It's incredible.
It's so good. So after getting shot in the leg, he goes to the ground, and then the dude shoots him in the chest and takes off. But not before Russ quick shoots him in the back of the head as he's running. Because that's the natural reaction here.
So we kill the robber, but it doesn't matter because Officer Russell, he has passed away.
Well, we don't know that yet, because then Shelley, who is his pregnant wife, we finally found out her name, goes to the hospital to see him, and he's apparently in surgery, but then the doctor comes out and it's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we get about 4 seconds of suspense there, where she's like, yeah, he might pull through. It's going to be fine. And then the doctor immediately comes out and is like, no, honey, he did. Sorry about it.
So we get this great montage of her walking in what looks to be a field, but then she's got some flowers and she lays it on the ground. So it's like, oh, this is a cemetery. Okay, did you take a note of how weird this cemetery was?
I was too focused.
Okay.
So, I was too focused on the fact that she's wearing the same dress. So this was the same day. She just went out to a random cemetery that doesn't belong to her husband.
Oh, great.
Or she wears the same clothes, which is also fine. But I was looking at her outfit like, wasn't she just, she was just wearing that. And then there was really sad music and it was beautiful. Very sad.
So this cemetery was so bizarre because it had no upright tombstones whatsoever. Like they're just all like the little flat plaques.
Yeah.
In the entire cemetery. Which, we get a cemetery later on in the movie that is more like a regular cemetery, but this one is just weird.
It was strange. Some 90s sad music plays. She cries. It's beautiful.
Yep.
Great.
So let me fast forward again, and it's clearly a few months in the future because she had a baby. So Shelley is feeding him or watching this absolutely terrible reality TV. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Okay, camera cuts from sad widow crying in a field cemetery. Immediately cuts to this game show where it's like five women in bikinis or something and they're all sitting in a row and then there's just this man making nasty jokes to them and all of these women just look at him like, sir?
Yeah, and they were like really, really bad jokes, like in really poor taste.
Horrible, yes. And all these women are not having it. I thought they were going to laugh or like be playful, but they're all looking at him like, yep. Absolutely not. No thank you.
It's clear that he's a jerk and he gets paid for being a jerk.
Yeah. And so, interesting choice that we have our brand new mom watching this while mourning
her. Yeah.
Crazy. Okay. So then, somebody comes in, just a sweet cutie. Her name is Hildy, and she is Shelley's good friend. Such a sweetheart.
She's such a sweetheart. She's like, we need to go get you some junk food, and also we gotta go to this cool antique store that I saw. Matilda's. Let's go. Come with me.
Okay. And in the next scene, they're walking down the street towards Matilda's antique shop. And so Hildy is like, oh, it's right around this corner. Come on through here. And Shelley's like, down this alley?
Yeah.
The camera pans to the alley. That is the cleanest alley and the biggest alley I've ever seen in my life. She only looks, you know, apprehensive about it because there's a dumpster to the side. Ma'am, it's fine.
Yep.
It's like 11 a.m. Like, you're going to be fine. It's the biggest alley I've ever seen. Very well lit. She's like, down this alleyway? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, least of your worries, ma'am. But okay.
So they go into this antique store, and there is all sorts of stuff in here. But the thing that is most interesting to me is that the store was just like full of cobwebs everywhere.
It was straight up a spirit Halloween.
It was, yes, but like not fake cobwebs, like actual, like real, it was disgusting. And then we see the Rumpelstiltskin statue, which also, okay, hold on a second. So at the beginning of the film, right, Shelby, we were somewhere in Europe. So Europe, like there are some connections with, you know, the Atlantic Ocean. Right? And so we can presume that the statue was thrown into the Atlantic Ocean.
Sure.
Now we're in LA, which is on the Pacific Ocean. How did the statue get from the sea, the ocean outside Europe, to LA?
You know, Buddy, I don't need your negativity. I'm just trying to...
I'm just asking.
I do think, if I'd hazard a guess, I bet you somebody else dug him out of the water there. Like, he must have drifted ashore. Someone dug him up and then sold him to a witchy lady who has an antique shop.
Sure.
Somehow it got passed along, I guess, over the last 1,000 years or whatever.
Sure, so whatever. So we see the store owner, and she's eating, like, I don't even know what, out of a can.
Okay, we got to just this shot of hands with lots of rings on them, mm-hmm. so it's a witchy lady. And she's just eating straight from a spoon out of a can of beans.
Oh, with beans.
And then she reaches down and grabs a cigar. So she's smoking a cigar, eating a can of beans right out of the cold can.
Hey, all I can see was this weird pig paste. So I don't... must have been pinto beans or something.
I think they were pinto beans or something like that. It was wild.
So the two women are in there and they're looking around. And then this clown doll just like... fall over a little bit, and we get a sudden organ chord.
Oh, absolutely not. Okay,
it's like the one jump scare in the movie.
It was the one intentional jump scare, and I jumped. That was my first real jump scare of this podcast series. So yes. Yay!
So the woman, the store owner, Matilda, calls out. And in the subtitle, it says, Stern Woman. So Stern Woman calls out and says, we're closed. Come back another time.
And she blows her cigar smoke all over these women mm-hmm. in their faces. So that's rude.
So she's just like, well, what do you want? And Hildy's response, did you write it down? Because it was great.
Hildy goes, well, I'm looking for a man, but I guess you don't have one on sale here.
And she goes... whole or parts?
And then Hildy's eyes so wide. She's like, oh.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, Shelley's looking around and she looks at the statue, the Rumpelstiltskin statue, and I'm screaming at the TV, no, 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 but I guess we wouldn't have a movie without it.
Yep.
The baby's also staring at it, and the statue starts glowing. But she can't see that it's glowing. It's like its eyes are glowing. And so she reaches for it and is like, what an interesting carving. Looks like jade with strands of gold.
Okay, let's calm down, lady.
But Hildy goes, it's kind of a creepy face, no? It kind of reminds me of my last boyfriend.
Oh, Hildy, my favorite person.
So Matilda tries to ward her off from being interested in that one, saying that thing has powers. She says it's an ancient talisman that grants wishes.
Good old Shelley doesn't care. She's like, how much? And apparently she sold it to her. So Shelley has this figurine right on her mantelpiece next to a photo of her dead husband. Of course. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Not weird.
Yeah.
I guess then we just have this long, unnecessarily long scene of Shelley crying and talking about Russ or whatever his name was, and she's holding this figurine and a tear falls onto Rumpy Rock as thunder claps in the background.
Yep, so we got the wish, because she her wish was she wishes her husband could meet her little boy. So we got the wish, we've got the child, the child's bed is like right in front of the mantle, and we've got the heartfelt tears. Oh, and by the way, the child, at this point we finally find out his name. His name is Johnny, after the other cop.
Oh, it was after the other cop. Because I was like, all right, so what are they going to name this kid? Some kind of flower? Some kind of plant? Johnny. That's not a plant.
It's not a plant, but he's the other cop that was with her husband when he died. And yeah.
Fine, whatever.
Yep. So the statue's eyes light up when the tears hit it.
Red glowing eyes, freaky.
Yep. And it starts moving and it starts cackling. And then it goes to another shot of the child. So we saw her putting the child to bed. Shelby, did you catch this? So I was watching this with a friend. Shout out to Geneva, who was probably listening. And I didn't catch this either. But when she puts this child to bed, it's in one night outfit. When it cuts to the child this time in the bed, it is in a completely different outfit.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, it's originally it was wearing a PJs with a hat. At the time, it did not have a hat, and it's a completely different PJs.
That's so funny. I will bring it up later when it comes up, but there's another part of the movie too where the shot cuts away and then cuts back and something is completely different.
Yes, with this child's outfit, we see more footage later on of the child in bed, and it's the exact same outfit as the first one, and I'm pretty positive it's the exact same footage, even like they didn't even record it again.
Great.
So she is later on, she's reading in her bed and she hears some footsteps in the hallway. And so she calls out hello and pulls a gun from her drawer and opens the door, and there's Russ.
He's like, "What up, girl? I'm back. What's going on? How's that baby? How you doing? What's going on?"
He wants to see his son.
His face is pulsating. He's like, "Where's the baby? Yes. I want to see that little infant."
Yep. So then they have a good old happy reunion and cuddle up together. And so the next morning, they wake up, or she wakes up, and he's not in bed. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, what is going on?
What's going on? Okay, we hear the shower running.
Yes.
She calls out for him because she's like, whoa, there is someone in my home. That wasn't a dream. That really happened. And she hears Russell go, "Hey, I'm in the shower, baby. Why don't you come on in here?"
Yes. Yes. So she goes into the bathroom and we see the silhouette of Russ's backside. He's a pretty good looking man.
Sure.
Yeah.
Through the shower, you can see, you know, it's one of those showers with like that thick glass where you can see who it is in the shower.
Yeah. And so it's clearly Russ at this point.
You could see his face saying, "Hey, baby, why don't you come on in here?"
Yep. So she opens up the shower door and then we finally see that, nope, it's Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, full gremlin face. Yep. Nasty.
And so he immediately demands the baby since he granted her wish. So she knees him in the crotch and runs, but not before grabbing her baby.
Great work, honey.
Yeah. So he breaks down the door after her. I mean, there's this whole scene with her holding a knife up to him, and he says he's going to suck the life out of the baby. And she cuts his hand. She stabbed him in the forehead, and the baby's crying this whole time. And like, it is wild.
He says, "You can't," something about, "You can't kill me because I don't have a soul."
Yes.
Or something like that. So she stabs him in the forehead and he just pulls that knife right on out.
Yep. So he keeps saying, "The baby John, I want the baby John." And so she starts smacking him with a broom.
The broom handle ends up in his mouth.
Yes.
She shoves it down his throat and then pushes him backwards with this throated broom out of the door, slams the door, locks it, and she takes off in her car.
Yes, so she takes off running, and he jumps out the window, right onto the roof of her car, as she's about to get away, and punches through the window. And then he calls out, "Don't let any blood get on the baby!"
And she, what'd she do? She starts taking off, slams on the brakes, so he falls off the roof, and then runs him down.
Yes.
Great.
Yep. So she takes off, and then we cut to the next day, and the police are there, and they're investigating the damage at the house. And her friend Hildy comes over, too. They start talking, and she's like, "Yeah, this was some kind of satanic freak."
Yeah. Okay. And then Hildy's, again, 10 out of 10, wonderful friend, says, "Okay, get your baby, get your stuff, come to my house, I have wine, I have dinner. It's going to be great. I have a friend. She's a psychiatrist. She'll come over and she'll, you know, comfort you."
Yep.
So, great. You can talk to her. It's going to be fine.
So they have dinner together to unwind, and the new friend mentions the Rumpelstiltskin fairy tale. She immediately jumps to that, which was shocking to me that that's where your brain would go.
She gets up from the table, leaving her nice little wine. She's like, I think that I have something that might be able to help you." And she reaches into Hildy's bookshelf, which is hilarious, and just grabs this book, immediately knows what it is. And I thought it was going to be, I don't know, some kind of mindfulness, meditation, something like that. Yes. But it was straight up fairy tales, and she flips to the page, boom, that baby is Rumpelstiltskin. Look at that.
And then they realize something even more about the story, is that in the story, the maiden that has to give up her daughter, or her child, or she's a Miller's daughter, and Shelley's maiden name is Shelley Miller. She is the son of a Miller. Or the daughter of Miller. I can talk.
She's a whatever of a
just
Miller.
Like the tale.
Miller child. It's great. It's perfect. It fits.
Yep. So they keep hanging out, and then the psychologist friend leaves. We never get her name the entire time.
No, who cares?
She isn't named in this movie. She has such an important role, and she's just not named.
Yeah, she's like, let me just drop in real quick for about 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'll move the plot along about 60%, and I'm going to head on out. So
exactly.
And so after she leaves, it's like 1 in the morning. The dog is barking. Hildy just kicks the dog out and is like, he can go annoy the neighbors. Locks the door. She's like, this baby is locked tight. Good night.
It's so bad. Who does that to their dog?
Oh, it's so funny. And then the camera pans over about 2 feet away. The window is wide open. Yeah. Girl, what are you doing?
And then we see that Rumpelstiltskin is hiding in the closet.
Oh, that was creepy. She opens the closet door, reaches up and grabs these sheets for Shelly, who's going to sleep on the couch. And then as she turns away and is about to close the closet door, we just see this nasty little face peek out from between the jackets in the closet. And then she shuts the closet door in his face.
Yep. Shelly gets ready for bed. She's going to sleep on the couch. And so she stays up reading the fairy tale. And she's reading it out loud because who doesn't read out loud when they're alone? But she learns that the only thing that can stop Rumpelstiltskin is his name, fire, and chaff. And so she's like, what is chaff? I don't know what it is. Is it like kryptonite? So she goes on to take some Tylenol. And so the music swells and the baby cries. And she runs out and to her baby because she's like all freaked out and shook up. And it's just Hildy holding him.
I thought that Rumpelstiltskin had turned into Hildy.
Oh!
Like kind of like he, you know, turned into her dead husband and was holding the baby. And I was like, take that baby out of that woman's arms. But it's just Hildy. It's Hildy.
So I have to read you my notes here because it's great. So I go, so she runs out and it's just Hildy holding him. And then I wrote in all caps, phew! And then immediately later, I wrote, oops, spoke too soon. He breaks through the wall and through the bookshelf.
Oh, my God. Hildy is such a wonderful friend. Love her. She's like, get on out of here. Take your baby. Take my car. I'll hold this guy off, which she manages to do for about half a second.
Did you catch what Rumpelstiltskin said there first, though?
What did he say?
Oh, it was pretty bad. He's like, mothers, all the same. Give me the baby. Make another one.
Oh, yeah, I laughed out loud when he said that.
Oh, so bad.
Oh, so funny. Horrible. He breaks Hildy's neck real fast there.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even catch that.
I was mourning for the rest of the film.
I was wondering the rest of the film what happened to her.
Goodbye, Hildy.
Okay, well, now I know at least. I have some closure.
Yeah, and Shelly gets away in Hildy's car.
And she runs him over again.
Again.
And his arm just comes clean off of his body and lands on the windshield, and he makes a very rude gesture at her.
Yes.
With his disconnected arm. And so she drives off, and Rumble goes to collect his arm, and he shakes a bunch of grubs out of it before reattaching it to his body.
Maggots.
Maggots.
So gross.
So he's like straight up Oogie Boogie.
Nasty.
Like straight up Oogie Boogie at this point.
Oh, and then he's attaching his arm. And a guy comes rolling up in a motorcycle and says, hey, my guy, maybe get out of the road, maybe?
And Rumble's like, hey, you have a cool steed there. A steed. And so he throws the dude off and grabs the motorcycle.
Wonderful.
Rumble he also steals the leather jacket, the sunglasses, the leather boots, and he starts driving the motorcycle while singing. And it is hilarious because we see this, like, creepy troll, like, looking like some motorcycle dude.
Very cool.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, go ahead and Google Rumpelstiltskin motorcycle right now because the images are fantastic.
Incredible. And even better, watch this movie because yes. There are so many good parts in this movie.
So it's clear that Rumpelstiltskin doesn't know how to drive a motorcycle though because for some reason there's just like a fire hydrant that's just like broken open spraying water everywhere.
I think Shelly intentionally swerved to hit it. And then it goes off and, like, water's exploding out. And she's like, yes! And then she drives away.
Got it. Well, so, he tried to drive right through it, which you should never do with a motorcycle.
Great. He eats asphalt.
Yeah.
He goes rolling. So, see you later. And then a semi-truck approaches. Mm-hmm. Oh, even better. And then this is where he decapitates the driver.
Yes.
Takes his cigar out of the driver's mouth and takes that. And then he puts his sunglasses on the decapitated driver's head.
It was so hilarious.
Like, don't mind if I do, sir.
Yep. And when he takes his cigar, he's just like, just what I needed. Another bad habit.
Great. Perfect.
And he steals a semi and calls it my kind of chariot, made in America.
So he's blaring the horn. We get some groovy 90s tunes as he's driving the semi. Very fun.
Then we cut to, oh no, Shelley's car has broken down at the side of the road in the middle of the desert.
And it's the next morning, so it's very bright out.
Yes. And so a guy comes up in a pickup truck. And immediately as he got out of the truck, I'm like, it's the dude from the TV.
I did not realize when he stepped out of the truck, I just went, wow, his look is loud. He's got this patterned shirt that must be seen to be believed. It's got like polka dots and patterns and flowers and all kinds of crazy colors on it. His hair is poofed up to the max. He's got sunglasses on. He's got cowboy boots on. It is a chaotic look. I love everything about it.
Except he is being extremely misogynistic as he's talking to Shelley.
Literally, disgusting. The first thing he says is something about, oh, I love a woman in her underwear. And she's like, sir? And then she looks down and realizes that she fled the scene last night without pants on. So she's like, oh boy, this is terrible.
Yeah. So she demands a ride. And he's, like, arguing with her, but somehow she gets her way anyway. She just, like, loading her kid in the back of his truck.
He's just jaw-wagging about whatever. Just, what are you talking about? What do you mean? I'm trying to go camping. And she's just grabbing her stuff, getting the baby out of the car. She's loading up, and she's like, get in this vehicle and drive me. I don't care. And he's like, ma'am, who are you?
Mm-hmm. But they start going anyways. And then, of course, we get the ominous rumble semi come up behind them. So they're talking, and that's when she realizes it's Max from TV, Max Bergman. Rumple starts catching up, and Max thinks he's being pranked for a TV show.
Yes, and as they're talking real fast before Rumpy Boy gets up to them, this is where I wanted to tell you about the weird shot cutting where things don't make sense.
Oh, yes, please.
So, it's so funny, because as the two of them are talking, the camera's cutting between the two of them, and then it also, for some reason, keeps cutting to the baby looking between the two of them, as if the baby is part of the conversation, mm-hmm. which is hilarious. But every time it cuts to the baby, it cuts back to a back seat that doesn't exist. And then when the camera pans back up, it's a pickup truck, so there is no back. And the baby, like, I don't know if it's wedged between them in the baby seat.
I couldn't figure that out either.
You can't see the baby, but then Every time the camera cuts to it, there's like a wide old back seat back there.
Yep. Okay. I did catch that, but I just didn't like fully process that. I was trying to figure out where the baby was.
Very strange.
Yeah. So Rumple does eventually catch up, though, and he shouts out, let's playeth tag. And he taps him in the back. And oh, by the way, the pickup truck is pulling a boat.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Great.
So he hits them in the back of the boat and says, you're it. And so the boat starts breaking off of Max's pickup truck. And Rumple just hits it with a semi. And the boat explodes. Like, that would not happen, first of all, but also amazing.
Incredible. Love it.
Yep. So, Max and Shelley get away, but only barely, and then the truck dies.
Okay, in this scene, before they lose their truck, it is fully a monster truck rally. They're like, they go off the road in this truck, they're going over these hills, they're going through water, and it's such a long scene of like this sandy, gravelly obstacle course, and Rumpelstiltskin's just following them in a semi.
Yep.
And truly, my friend, I wish that I had the confidence of Rumpelstiltskin. He's just like, I can do this, this is great, and he just rides on through in his semi truck, just barreling through life. Love it.
But also, how can a semi keep up with a pickup truck? That's what I did not understand.
And he was full pedal to the floor.
Yes.
And yet the semi-truck was keeping crazy. Okay.
So anyway, so they do get away, barely, but then the truck dies. And so they're at this, like, abandoned gas station area, and Max is like, I have an idea. And so he looks over, and there's a go-kart over there.
This little buggy thing. He gets that thing out.
Like a dune buggy.
Yeah.
And he grabs it, and then he also grabs a blanket to make a fake baby. And so just as Rumple catches up to them, he lures Rumpelstiltskin to follow him, who takes the bait. So cool.
Great.
Then we have a ridiculous chase of a semi chasing the dune buggy. On the back of this cart, there were, like, these little poles that just kept flopping back and forth, and it was, like, hilarious.
Great, just a flipping and a flopping.
Yep, I was gonna say that. I mean, that's your phrase, though. So, he somehow stays ahead of Rumple, because clearly this little dune buggy, you know, faster, not even a dune buggy, it is a go-kart. It's just straight up a go-kart.
80 miles an hour, for sure.
Yeah.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Great.
Faster than the truck. So then he somehow gets ahead of Rumple when the battery dies. Their luck is just awful.
Yeah, I mean, probably because they're abusing all these vehicles.
I guess. So he just starts slamming the start button repeatedly on this thing that's not starting when Rumple turns the corner and catches up to them. And Rumple then realizes that he's been tricked. And so he is mad that he's been tricked. Because he realizes the baby isn't there. And so, as he's realizing this, Max finally gets it to start, like, just in the nick of time. And the semi is about to crash into him, but the semi ends up going over a cliff.
Down this ravine.
And, folks, you need to watch this movie, because there's a line we cannot say on this podcast right now that Rumple screams out. And it is worth watching the movie just for this one line.
Absolutely fantastic. Worth it all.
Yes. He takes a word we can't say here and turns it into Old English, and it is so good.
Beautiful. French kiss. Perfect.
So the semi topples down this cliff, and then, again, it explodes.
Explodes, sure.
I mean, like, the explosions in this movie are so good. I'm not usually somebody that's into that, and this movie was just like, yeah! Explosion! Fire!
Very fun.
It's great.
Great.
I also wondered at this point, like, since Rumple is in this truck as it explodes, like, does this count as the fire that they need? And now they only need Chaff and his name? I don't know.
So then he's fully on fire. So Max is still in his little buggy. Mm-hmm. That thing slips down the hill and he's just rolling down, screaming the whole way, I'm gonna die, this is awful, I'm gonna die. Great. And then he lands just about right next to the semi-truck,
mm-hmm.
and he passes out, I guess.
Yep, but thankfully, Shelly and a police officer find them, thanks to the truck's explosion, gave away their location. The police officer starts opening the semi, and I'm screaming at the screen, no, don't do this.
Me too!
And we can't really see, it seems like Rumple is MIA, like, where is he? But, like, why are they going to this truck? Like, Shelly, run away!
Holding her baby right next to this truck. So then the sheriff opens the truck door, looks inside, and kind of turns back to the two people, and he's like, maybe you two should wait by the car. He's, pretty well done in there.
Yeah, so then Rumple sneaks out. Or sneaks up, he appears, and he is all, like, covered in char.
Nasty, nasty, black, burned face. Horrible.
So then he just, like, reaches to the top of his head.
No!
And just, like, peels the char off.
No. Awful. It was so gross.
But then the best part is, he then pulls on his neck and pulls his head clean off his body.
Sure.
Which he uses to bite the cop.
I don't know why he didn't just lunge at the cop. Instead, he pulls his head off and then pushes his head forward and just attacks the cop with it. Great. Okay. We killed the cop. You have no head. And Max and Shelly are running away.
Yep. So they go steal the cop car.
Great.
And meanwhile, Max is freaking out while they're driving away. And Shelly just, like, slaps him to get him back to reality.
Yeah. He's like, oh. That really does work. I feel better. Okay, whatever.
Then we get this great scene of Rumpelstiltskin playing hot and cold with his head and his body. So, like, he's, like, his head is talking, calling his body over to come find the head.
His little body is doing the creepy little sideways walk squat.
Yep.
So gross and so funny. So he's like, warmer, warmer, and then he finds his own head and puts it on his body. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a full Rumpelstiltskin. He has no more burns, not a single char from that fire, because he just peeled all that off, so we're good to go.
Of course.
And then we've taken this stolen cop car, and we are in this abandoned cafe, mm-hmm. it looks like, and they're having a very long, drawn-out moment of talking about their high-speed chase. It's great. They're talking about the baby. Fantastic. And then Max gets up and goes...
Doesn't he say something like, I have to go take a tinkle?
Yeah, he says I have to tinkle, which is so 90s. Okay. He comes back. He's like, oh, look what I found. This little creepy doll for you.
Yeah, this little doll made out of straw and... it is super creepy, but...
Faceless. It has no face, just like a weird protrusion for a nose. And then it's got, like, these little straw hands.
So, meanwhile, Rumpel catches up and is peeking through the window. And he freaks out at the straw that this baby is made out of.
He says, oh no, not the straw!
So, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, okay, chaff must be straw. Got it. I didn't know what chaff was. Did you know what chaff was?
No, when he said, oh no, not the straw, that's when I assumed, oh, it's got to be a fire that's lighting straw. Great. But I didn't know what the word chaff was.
Oh, at that point, I thought it was the chaff, which it is. So, Shelley and Max are talking, and then, in a moment of brilliance, Shelley just now realizes the Wishing Stone caused all of this. Like, I thought she knew this from the get-go, but she finally connected the dots together.
Me too. And she's like, well, what can we do about it? Think. And she's like, oh yeah, the witch who sold it to me might have an idea what we have to do to get Rumpelstiltskin to leave us alone.
Sure. Yeah, Matilda's gonna know everything.
Okay. Very first moment something fishy happened, I would have taken it right back and been like, ma'am, I have some questions about my freaky stone. No, we waited until we've killed like two or three people and crashed a ton of vehicles. It's fine. So we've just now realized that we should probably bring a witch into this.
But then some cops bust in because they think that the couple killed the cop, which, I mean, reasonable. They had the police car. They're in this abandoned diner. Like, okay, fair enough.
Sure.
But the officer takes away baby John.
That was very sad to watch.
Yeah. It's like, no. And so they get taken to jail. And outside of the jail cell in another room, there's an officer who is just cuddling and trying to make John happy.
She was so annoying.
Really?
I could not stand the camera. Okay. She was so close to the camera. And then she was like... Gucci Gucci gooing this baby and doing peekaboos, but she was just like yelling in the baby's face. It was awful. And then the baby kept screaming and crying, and she would say, oh, don't cry. Oh no, why are you crying? And then just keep yelling in the baby's face about how cute it was.
And then she does the worst thing ever. She takes John's new doll away, the straw one.
She's like, oh, we don't need this thing anymore. This thing's dirty. Throws it in the trash, gives him a new toy, squeaks it right in his ear. Like, no wonder this baby's crying. You're being really loud and intrusive.
And then it's, like, so heartbreaking because you see his arm reach out towards the one in the trash. Like, he wants the straw one.
Johnny is the only one who knows what's going on. He's like, give me the straw, baby. It will protect me.
Yeah.
So, doesn't get the straw baby. Now he's got this annoying, squeaky one. Okay, there's a lot that happens with all these police officers, because they're everywhere, and we're in this, this little jail cell. So, it sounds like Shelley has used her one phone call, not to call a lawyer, but to call the witch and ask her to come help them. Mm-hmm. Which is very smart. Good for you. Okay. This is obviously a supernatural thing. And then... I don't know this officer's name. I'm not sure if we ever do. But he looks out the window and sees that one of the police officers that had stayed at the scene had just come back. So he's saying, oh, hey, get out of the car. What's wrong with you? Oh, his name is Joe. He's like, Joe, what's going on, my guy? He walks outside, goes up to the car, and says, hey, Joe, are you all right? And you can see with the shot of the camera that this guy's clearly dead. And then his head kind of falls over, and Rumpelstiltskin just rises up from the back seat. And then we keep cutting back and forth to this other officer who is being really loud and yelling in the baby's face. So we keep cutting to mm-hmm. the baby and this officer, and then cutting to the shenanigans that Rumpelstiltskin is doing to the other police officers.
Yeah, and I was shocked with how many police officers died in this scene.
I know, like, two or three.
One of them was stabbed with an American flag through his chest.
And yeah.
It's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, he shish kebabs him up to the wall. That was creepy. Then another officer walks in and he just tears that guy apart and says, "Where's the baby?" There's a third officer, I think, who starts shooting.
But then Rumpel steals the gun and kills him. Yeah.
Yes.
So then Rumpel hears John crying. And so he breaks down the door to where the officer and John are. And so she starts shooting at him. But then he kills her by just chucking her through a window.
Great. See you later.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So he goes up to John and he sings to John. And then the scene cuts away and cuts back. And then the baby carrier is empty.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then one of the officers that we presumed was dead turns out to not actually be dead. And so he brings Max and Shelley the keys to their jail cell and says, "You need to go stop him. You need to go stop this dude."
Yep. He goes ahead and kicks the bucket. So see you later, officer. But we have the keys now. So they go running out of the station and they're looking for Rumpelstiltskin, and they're looking for a car to take, and Max is like, "Oh, this one's got keys in it," and they hop right on in.
Yes, it's yellow convertible that wasn't there before, but it's...
Where did the yellow convertible come from?
Right. And so they start driving off, and then in the back of the car wakes up Matilda, who must have driven this whole way to come see them.
Fell asleep in the back seat?
Yeah, didn't come inside or anything. Like, and somehow slept through all the shooting, and...
No idea.
Whatever.
No idea. So she's sleeping in the back seat. They wake her up and they're like, "Hey, we needed your help hours ago."
Yep. So she tells them that Rumpel has no soul, that he wants to steal baby John. Like, obviously they knew that already. She also does tell them that fire and chaff can stop him. And also, Shelley is finally like, "Chaff? What's chaff?" And she's like, "Straw. Ordinary straw." Then we cut to Rumpelstiltskin, who is like, walking around in, like, the street or whatever, and he, like, pulls up, like, this magic that basically is, like, this, like, seeing eye sort of thing. He can see what's going on. And so
yes.
He watches them and hears them talking about the fact of, or talking about the details of how to stop him. And so he's like, "Oh, crap. This is bad." And so he starts, like, casting a spell and starts, like, choking Matilda with magic from a distance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Telepathically choking the witch to death, but not before she tells them how to save the baby. So she tells them what they have to do, and fire and chaff, you have to say his name 3 times, blah, blah, blah.
She also tells them that Rumpelstiltskin will steal the child's soul in a graveyard, and that he needs mother's arms. She doesn't specify which mother's arms, she just says mother's arms.
Just a devoted mother.
So... Shelley's like, "Oh, well, I'm his mother. Everything's fine, right?
Yeah,
everything's
gonna be
fine."
Great.
But they must realize something's up there.
Great. Okay. So now we're at the scene with Rumpy with the baby in a graveyard. Correct?
Yeah, he just digs up some random mother.
Oh, it is so creepy. So we see him holding this baby, and he's like, "Here you go, baby. Hop into this mama's arm. She was a very devoted mother." We see the tombstone. It says, whoever this lady was, her name, and then devoted mother.
Yep.
So he's like, "Oh, great, fits the definition, let's throw him in there." So he puts the baby into this open grave where he's dug up a dead body. It's nasty.
Yeah, and the baby's crying, of course.
Of
and
course.
And he's like, "Shut up, foul infant, my destiny is here."
Oh, it's so funny. And then the yellow convertible, here it comes, and Shelley and Max are catching up.
Yeah, so they catch up to him in this graveyard, which, by the way, this graveyard is amazing, especially compared to the graveyard we saw earlier in the film. We get thunder and lightning, we get spooky ambiance, headstones.
There's fog, it's very creepy.
Yeah, big old creepy crypt, and the moon is so big, it's incredible. So they start running out towards him, and Rumpelstiltskin reanimates some dead bodies to come after them.
Oh, so gross. A dead body reaches up from the grave and grabs Shelley's leg, and she turns around, and you see this nasty face gross.
Yeah, and it's, like, sparking with electricity.
Yeah, like lightning.
Yeah.
Coming off the dead body. Okay.
And Rumpel turns to her, and he's like, oh, your poor little baby. And the subtitle there goes, pretends to cry.
He just mocks them.
It's so great. So, they run away for the time being, and Max comes up with an idea. They're in this barn, and they find some straw, and they find a road flare.
Yeah. Okay, use that. Light some straw on fire.
In the bucket of a tractor.
Yes.
I mean, sure, why not?
Max comes barreling through with this bucket of the tractor. He, like, scoops up the inflamed
yes.
straw and just drives away with it. Hilarious. Yep.
So, and he's driving the truck. He's like, oh, man, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?
And we keep cutting back and forth to this inflamed tractor coming towards the cemetery. And Rumpelstiltskin standing there on this tombstone with mm-hmm. the baby. And he just keeps laughing over and over and over. And I don't know if they're playing the same audio track or not. It doesn't really matter. His every time it cuts to him, he laughs the same way. And it was so annoying. I could not stand it.
So Max does catch up to him and managed to get him in the bucket of the truck. And then he raises it, like, up to the sky. And so he's, like, so got his trophy up there.
He's like a little Mufasa holding up his...
Yes, except with a tractor and a bucket of fire and
chaff. A bucket of fire and a nasty little... gremlin in there.
Yep. So Max starts trying to get out of the tractor, but his watch gets caught on the steering wheel.
Oh.
And, like, the tractor is just not stopping. It keeps moving, and he's like, oh, crap, I'm gonna die here. And then he manages to jump off just in the nick of time before this tractor crashes into, like,
a telephone pole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, the whole truck gets electrified. Another amazing special effect right here.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Very
Meanwhile,
good.
I'm going, why didn't Max just say his name 3 times?
Like, I know. I was waiting for that, too. But and then Shelly finally catches up. I don't know where she was.
Yeah. And so Rumpel then crawls out of the fire. And I'm just like, Shelly, say his name. He crawls out of the fire. And she starts asking him where her baby is. And he's like, gone. And she goes, not a chance. You're gonna burn, Rumpelstiltskin. 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 And then he poofs into a statue again. And,
great.
Yep, they run through the graveyard and they find Johnny, thanks to his crying. And Max winds up and throws the statue into the ocean again. Hooray!
Hooray! Except it kind of just pitter-patters down this hill and lands at the foot of this tiny little lake.
Yeah.
So it's just in the mud.
But hey, whatever.
Great, it's fine. Taken care of. We're good to go.
Yep.
Perfect.
Shelly calls Max a hero, and of course he asks her out. Like, come on, don't give this dude a redemption line. Like, he was terrible. But she agrees to go out with him.
Fine, I guess. And then we get this shot of some pretty hills and mountains and stuff, and it's 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Not very long, only 3 years. We get this cute little kid, sweet baby, looking at the water at the shoreline, and she pulls out this weird-looking rock that's, like, bigger than her head. She runs up this hill and says, ooh, look what I found.
Mommy, mommy, look what I found.
Mommy, can I keep it? And then as mommy turns around, she's sitting, and the music gets very dramatic.
Yes.
And you see that she is holding an infant.
A baby! And mommy does let her take it home, and then the movie just ends.
So the mother says, for sure, you can take that rock home. It's interesting. It shows the kid looking at the rock. The camera zooms in on the baby in the mother's arm, looking at the rock. Very dramatically, the rock is like looking back at the baby. And then the camera slowly zooms in to Rumpelstiltskin's nose.
Mm-hmm.
And camera fades to black. End of the film.
What a film, Shelby.
What a film.
Speechless. I don't think I have any more words. I had so much fun watching this.
It was a hoot and a holler. Lots of explosions. Lots of, I will say I was hoping for it to be a little creepier because I had 2 jump scares within the first 15 minutes and I was very excited to be creeped out. But it's more body horror. There's like the eyeball being plucked out, decapitation, burning, lots of gross stuff like that.
And it's not super gross in the way they do it, though. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's very cartoonish in all of that.
Yeah, except the eyeball being plucked out was...
Yeah, that was gross.
So gross.
I did also notice that this movie is marketed as a horror comedy, which totally makes sense. Although, I mentioned that to the friend I was watching it with, and, like, we're, like, 20 minutes into the movie, and she's just like, this is a comedy? And I'm like, I know, I don't know either. And then as soon as she said that, it started getting funny, and we're like, okay, we get it now.
There are some good lines in there. There's some good stuff. Yeah. So I also do have to point out that I watched the credits, and a part of the credits said, no babies or children were placed in dangerous or traumatic situations during the filming of this motion picture. Mechanical babies and dolls were utilized throughout the production. Audible cries were added with imitation sound effects. And then it says, no animals were harmed or mistreated during the filming of this motion picture, which I beg to disagree because our buddy, what's her name? Hildy just kicks that dog outside. She's like, ah, don't need to worry about that anymore. See you in the morning, pal. So,
yep.
That was super funny. If they were using fake babies and stuff, it was pretty convincing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you could see that the actor was just holding a bundle, but a lot of the time it looks like a, you know, real baby.
And that also explains why some of the shots of the babies were the exact same shots used over and over again, too. So, yeah, I get it. That's cool.
So, and also, by the way, there are tons of audiobook titles on Hoopla and on Overdrive for Rumpelstiltskin. If you want to look on there, for children and adults, I think. Plus, we have a bunch of books and movies here in the Cromain building, too. But the only movie I could find that even mentions Rumpelstiltskin is Shrek Forever After, but we'll take what we can get.
Amazing.
So, anything else from you?
I've got nothing else to say here. This was a blast, but if you have any comments, dear listeners, feel free to reach out to adult@cromain.org, and we'll be able to get back with you.
Please do, and remember to listen to a witch when she tells you not to mess with ancient objects,
dude.
And remember to have a glance at Canopy if you want to experience the roller coaster that was this movie. And have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah. I've been Damon.
And I'm Shelby.
And this has been...
The Spooky Spectacular!
We're so good at this.
We try so hard.